Welcome to the Golden Age of Baseball with Eddie Robinson, baseball's oldest living player. Eddie was a four-time All-Star, World Series winner, scout, and front office executive during his amazing 65-year career in baseball. These podcasts will give the baseball enthusiast the opportunity to share a slice of baseball history with someone who actually lived it. And now, here's Eddie.
I think I was up to the point where I was at spring training in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I had just thrown the brace away. My drop foot was almost 90% cured. The nerves had grown back, and I had good use of my right foot. I didn't figure to make the Indians that year, just coming out of the service for 3 years, having been laid off for one of those 3 years for a whole year with my leg. So I figured it was going to take me a year to get back in where I felt like I was a ball player again. But I stayed with the team until we were playing exhibition games on our way back to Cleveland. And when we got to Richmond, Virginia, the axe finally fell on me. They told me that they decided to send me to Baltimore to get my game in shape, give the big leagues a try the next year. Well, that was okay with me. Elaine and Robbie Ann were in Baltimore, and we had a home there. And if you had to be optioned out while playing baseball, it was good to be optioned to a city where you had a house where you were living. Anyway, I went to Baltimore and got off to a great start. My timing seemed to come around in a hurry, and I was really spanking the ball, hitting it all over the place, hitting home runs. And while I was in the service, the old Oriole ballpark had burned down. I mean, it had burned completely to the ground, and they were not going to rebuild it. So they made an agreement with the city, and they moved the franchise to Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, which was a football stadium, hadn't been built to play baseball in. But they made a baseball stadium in it. They had a very short left field foul line and the right field foul line. There was the administration building at the end of the stadium. I mean, that was a long way. And to hit a home run in the stands, you had to hook it around a foul pole that was about 290 feet from home plate. But you had to hook the ball in order to hit a home run. I hit very few home runs into the stands in Baltimore. Most of my home runs were hit into right center field and right field. And if I got a ball past the right fielder, I was a cinch home run, because by the time he chased it down and got it back, I was sitting on the bench. I remember one night we had a huge crowd, about 50,000 people there for Shriners Night. They had a Shriners Night every year. And this night, being in the stadium with our team playing well, the Shriners really got busy and had a huge turnout. And we're playing the game. I think it was against Newark. And I hit a ball over the right fielder's head, and he chased it down all the way to the administration building. And by the time he got to the ball and got it back to the infield, sitting in the dugout, laughing with my teammates about how long it took to get the ball back in. And Bobby Brown, I talk about him a lot in here later on. Anyway, he was a rookie with Newark, and that's the team we were playing. And he remembers that vividly to this day. When he and I are together and he's telling stories, which he likes to do, and is very good at it, he generally tells that story about the home run I hit in Baltimore. And that's a good one. There was another rookie in the league that year. His name was Jackie Robinson. And the Montreal had a working agreement with the Dodgers. And the Dodgers sent all their top farm players to Montreal. Well, Jackie was there along with Chuck Connors. Chuck Connors was the first baseman, and Jackie was the second baseman. And so Jackie and Bobby Brown and I were all three having great years. And there were a lot of future major leaguers in the league. Yul Blackwell was in the league. Matt Sercott was in the league. And there were just a bunch of really good players who graduated to the big leagues the next year. I'm getting ahead of myself here because I really should be at the beginning of the year. Our daughter, Robbie Ann, started having a problem with her eyes about a month after the season started. And her eyes would twitch, and when we couldn't figure out what it was, we didn't pay much attention to it initially, but after it went on for a few days, we took her to the doctor. And he said, take her to the eye clinic at Johns Hopkins Hospital, which we did. And they examined her at Johns Hopkins and came back with the bad news that she had a brain tumor, and the tumor was in behind the eyes, and it was affecting the eyes, causing them to twitch and move the way they did. And they recommended an operation. They said that's the only chance she had. And, of course, we discussed it, and we were distraught about the situation. But we figured that if she had a chance that way, we should take it. So we had her operated on, and she never gained consciousness after the operation. She was in a coma for 6 weeks, not communicating at all. She never communicated again with us until she passed away. And that was a terrible time. It was 6 weeks period. I was trying to play ball. I took off for a while, and then not knowing how long she was going to be sick, I started trying to play. My heart wasn't in it, but anyway, at the end of 6 weeks, she did pass away, and we buried her there in Baltimore, and it was a very tough time for the family. I went back to playing, and I played really well. I picked up where I had left off and played the rest of the year. We finished in third place, lost in the second round of the playoffs. So we had a pretty good year. I had a terrific year. I think 34 home runs and drove in 100 runs. But Jackie Robinson had a great year at Montreal, and Bobby Brown had a great year at Newark. And that was Yogi Berra's first year in AAA, and he was at Newark. So Shaughnessy was the president of the league, and he had a hard time deciding on who to pick for the most valuable player. And he finally picked me, which surprised me, with Jackie and Bobby. And, well, Yogi didn't have all that great a year, but Jackie and Bobby had great years. But I was delighted. That was honor high. I really hadn't expected, but received, and I was very proud of it. I spent the winter that winter with Elaine there in Baltimore, and we were trying to have another baby, and she did get pregnant. The following year was 1947, and that was my first full year in the big leagues. I went to spring training with the Indians, and they had moved their spring training camp from Clearwater, Florida, to Tucson, Arizona. And we stayed at the St. Arena Hotel in Tucson. It was a big change going from Florida out to the desert. But we had a new ballpark. It was had adobe walls made of adobe bricks. It had nice stands. Didn't seat too many people. Probably 2,000 people in the stands, and had bleachers down each foul line. But it was a nice climate and a nice place to train. I had a big surprise for me when I got to Tucson. I went to the ballpark for the first time to take my clothes out there and all my sweatshirts and other paraphernalia. And there was my dad. He had gotten there ahead of me and had talked him into giving him a job in the clubhouse, shining shoes and being a clubhouse boy. Well, I was really taken aback by that. Nobody wants their father to be working in the clubhouse. But it worked out all right. My father was a confirmed alcoholic. He and my mother divorced when I was about, 9 years old. Nevertheless, we hadn't seen much of each other, but he hadn't cured his drinking. He was still an alcoholic. But he behaved himself that spring. Only one time did he get off the wagon. And I remember coming back to the Santa Rita Hotel, and my roommate, Joe Gordon, met me in the lobby, and he said, Eddie, your dad's upstairs. I helped him to bed up there. He's in your bed. And he said he's had too much to drink. So I went up, and my dad was passed out in my bed. I left him there, and he came to, and he came back downstairs, and he said, I won't do it again. He told me I was in the lobby, and he left and went back to his place he was staying, and he never drank any more the rest of the spring. So it turned out all right. We had a good spring. We're headed back from Arizona. We went out to California, San Diego, and played a couple of games with the Browns. They trained out that way. And we were on the train headed east, headed for, a place in New Mexico, Albuquerque, I think we were going to play. We had a player on the team. He was an outfielder. He wasn't a major leaguer, but he was a pretty good ball player, but he was also a trick artist and liked to pull pranks on people, and he always kept some pet snakes with him. Nobody wanted to get very cozy with him because they didn't like the snakes. But we were in a dining car having dinner on our way from San Diego to Albuquerque. And here came Jackie in the dining car with a snake in each hand. And you talk about a commotion. I'm telling you, the waiters, they were all waiting on tables and doing a good job. But when he showed up with those two snakes, they took off back to the other end of the train. And the ladies all started screaming. And it was really, really a big commotion. I don't know if he thought he would cause that kind of commotion or not, but he did cause a big commotion.
Thank you for listening to The Golden Age of Baseball with baseball legend Eddie Robinson. If you have a question for Eddie or would like to suggest a topic for him to discuss, please email eddie.robinson65@yahoo.com. And for an even deeper dive into the golden age of baseball, read his autobiography, Lucky Me, My 65 Years in Baseball, which you can find on goodreads.com and on Amazon. The executive producer of the Golden Age of Baseball is Greg Ricks. Our engineer is Mark Robinson, and our podcast coordinator is Abby Robinson.